The next item on our agenda, item J, is an action item. The Judicial Branch Administration, the audit reports for Judicial Council acceptance.
What about I?
I'm sorry, I skipped I.
I take no offense at that, Chief.
Point of order.
Was that a procedural error, Judge Rosenberg? Thank you. Item I, the Judicial Council Meetings Parliamentary Procedures Action Required, Justice Hull and Mark Jacobson. I apologize.
Not at all. Thank you, Chief. Is Mark with us today? Are you here? No?
Mark, yeah.
All right. Thank you again, Chief. As all of us will recall, at our July 22nd budget meeting, we ran into a situation where we had motions and friendly amendments to motions and follow-on motions and superseding motions and all kinds of motions. And we realized at that time, the Chief Justice realized, that the Judicial Council had never established formal parliamentary rules of procedure. Because of the obvious need for that, as we go through these issues on the Council that have varying points of view and sometimes are subject to close votes, the Chief, shortly after that meeting, appointed a Parliamentary Rules Working Group. I have had the honor of chairing that group. Also on the group are Commissioner Sue Alexander, Judge Terry Jackson, Judge Burke Pines, and Presiding Judge David Rosenberg. We set about our work, and I must say we had a long, long head start because we started with Judge Rosenberg's revised rules of order that he had established or developed over many years serving on various public bodies and others that required parliamentary rules. And we thought it would be most efficient because we wanted to get back to the Council as soon as we could reasonably with some proposed rules to start with those gather some other ideas through Mark Jacobson, who I must say I appreciate and the committee appreciates his willingness to step in take on very short notice and on a very short time frame this project. We had a number of discussions, and basically what we have placed before you today are the parliamentary rules that have been adjusted, if you will, in a way that we hope and think will best serve the Council in its future deliberations. I won't repeat what's in the report. I'll only make three additional comments. We have not yet sent the rules out for public comment. To be candid, at first we thought there may not be a need to do so because they really are, in the truest sense, internal working rules for the Council. In an effort to continue the Council's effort to gather the greatest public comment on all of our business, we ultimately decided, especially because of the fact that we wanted to get the rules before the Council, that we would present them today, send the matter out for public comment if the rules are adopted today, and if public comment is such that the rules need to be amended, we would bring that immediately to your attention. Secondly, we had some discussions on the effect of a vote to, quote, abstain. There is actually some case law out there that says that that approved a set of rules that said a vote to abstain is an aye vote. We did not think, without going into details of that, we did not think that was appropriate for the Council's actions. And so, as you can see from the rules, a vote to abstain is just that. It is neither an aye nor a nay vote. There was also some discussion about what it meant when somebody in some situations, in some organizations, would vote absent, even though they were sitting there to do so. We felt it was odd, at the least, to allow that. And as you can see from the rules, a member who is present in the Council chambers when a vote comes is expected to vote either yes or no or abstain. If the member is physically absent, I mean, that's sometimes unavoidable, but that physical absence does no more or no less, I suppose, under the circumstances, than change the number of voting members on any given issue. And as you can see, we have carried forward with what the Council did this summer, saying that on any any motion, any non-procedural motion, that there had to be 11 aye votes in order to carry the motion. And so I'll note those things. I will be more than happy to cede the floor to any of the committee members who want to make additional comments or anybody on the council who would like to ask questions of what we've put before you.
Judge Rosenberg, then Judge Pine.
Thank you, Chief. Just a couple quick thoughts. First of all, I want to say that Chairman Hull knows how to run a meeting and did a very nice job moving this forward. Secondly, I'd like to say that Judge Pines was on vacation for about a week during the discussion, and so we accomplished an enormous amount of work in that week. But then Judge Pines returned, and we were somewhat delayed in bringing the product forward. But just to clarify one thing, these rules, if adopted, are really meant to apply to the council. They're not meant to really apply to internal committees of the council. Certainly, committees of the council can use them if they wish, but I think most of the internal meetings are run very informally, and so they're meant to apply to a large formal body such as the Judicial Council. Finally, I think the beauty of the rules is that they are simple and understandable. You can read them in less than half an hour and understand them, and I think that's the important thing about rules. They do need to be understood. So, thank you.
Thank you. Judge Pines?
I'm probably one of the few people around here that's actually read Robert's Rules of Order from front to back at some time, having been involved in a lot of meetings. When was that written? Over 100 years ago? I'm not quite sure.
You know, Roberts was a major in the cavalry. What the heck did he know about rules? But, yeah, it's 100 years.
They are difficult to follow. You've got to read them a number of times to understand them. What's marvelous about the draft that we had to work with, that originated with Judge Rosenberg, is that they're so user-friendly. If you look at these, you have to admit, this is not the way ordinary rules are written in terms of precision. They're user-friendly. They're easy to read. They get to the point. They're accurate. But it was a delight to have your drafts to work with. It made everyone's job a lot easier. As I understand it, these rules have been adopted by a lot of public agencies across the state based on your original draft. So I think it's a wonderful contribution you've made, Judge, to meetings all over the state and to the way we conduct things. I appreciate that. I wanted to commend you for the
Thank you.
Laboring.
Just for historical accuracy, I wrote these rules originally, 10, 20 years ago, and they've actually been adopted by hundreds of cities, counties, special districts, neighborhood associations, private corporations around the country. And I donated them to the League of California Cities. They are republishing them, should be out in a few weeks, in pocket size edition.
So, do you get a royalty from this?
No royalty. Shoot. Public service.
Thank you.
If I may, one more. I'm sorry, Chief. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Judge Pons.
Go ahead, Justice Hall.
Not to prolong the discussion, we have a great deal to do today, but I thought this is something that I might convey, and I don't think the person that I'm going to refer to will mind me conveying it to the council or to the public in general under the circumstances. But during the course of our efforts in this, I fell into conversation with one of my chamber's attorneys, and he said that it brought back a memory for him that when he was growing up in the Midwest, his father was quite involved in community affairs, community organizations, and he tended to carry with him at almost all times a copy of the Roberts Rules of Order. And my attorney noted that as a child he thought that was really quite remarkable because his father's name was Robert, and he thought that everybody was following his dad's rules of order.
Thank you. Justice Miller.
I just wanted to, and not to be too hyper-technical, but would it be okay if in the very first sentence under introduction it referred to judicial council meetings, just so there's no misunderstanding that this isn't a general rule for all of the meetings of the council, including the internal meetings of the committees? Because that is an issue that we're still dealing with concerning voting in the internal committees, and this refers a number of times to having 11 votes. Is there any problem with having that?
I think I can speak for the working group. I don't see any difficulty with that change at all.
Right.
So
but that was certainly the intent.
Okay.
Plus, if I may, we should note that this was adopted as not a formal rule of court or anything. It's an attachment, and so the council can easily change, modify the rules over time.
Mm-hmm. As needed.
And then one of the things that ENP is dealing with in the governance aspect is voting by telephone and other things like that. So this wouldn't impact that also.
We've covered that.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. Is it implied that the chair would be the parliamentarian, or in your experience, is there a need to have someone advising the chair as to, you know, when there are technical issues that arise?
In my experience, there is almost always a need for someone to advise the chair. In this council, there will be no need to advise the chair. The chair can easily handle it. But in other organizations, they often have a parliamentarian when needed. I don't see that need here.
Do we need a motion?
We do.
Could I make that motion?
Yes.
It's all I'm permitted to do as an advisory member. So I would be happy to move the adoption of the whole committee proposed parliamentary procedures for the Judicial Council.
I'll
as submitted that. With the one change of the reference to Judicial Council in the first sentence, as Justice Miller suggested.
I'll second.
I'll second.
Second by Pines and Commissioner Alexander. Any more comments? I want to say that thank you for the work, for the attention to detail that will guide us positively in the future. I appreciate especially the starting base, because this, we know as justices, judges, and lawyers, we can get mired in the amendments and the commas and the periods, but this is a true work of art. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Matter passes.
Thank you, Chief.
And you'll have a pocket one for us, Dave.
I will.